TalkZB, it is now 28 to 7. It is easy to transfer your KiwiSaver to Milford's award-winning KiwiSaver plans. Now, Milford offers three KiwiSaver funds: the Active Growth Fund, which invests mainly in New Zealand and Australian shares; the Balanced Fund, which invests in a mix of shares and bonds; and the Conservative Fund, which invests mainly in bonds. Now, each aims to deliver superior returns while protecting your capital, and that's very important. So for more information on transferring your KiwiSaver to Milford or for an investment statement, go to milfordkiwisaver.co.nz, milfordkiwisaver.co.nz, or call them 0800 662 345, 0800 662 345. Stephen Johnston is a senior analyst with Milford Asset Management. Hello, Stephen. Good
Hello
to talk
there.
To you. Now, Stephen, let's go through the global stock markets. How have the global stock markets been performing?
Well, it's turning out to be a great year, Larry. In general, stock markets have been remarkably strong. And we have to remember, you know, this is backing up from a stellar performance for markets in 2013. So as at the end of August, the MSCI All World Index, that's a very broad index which includes the US, Europe, Japan and emerging markets, was up almost 7% year to date. And of the major markets, the US main index, so the S&P 500, which is the biggest 500 companies in the US, is up almost 10% year to date. Closer to home, the main index, the Australian ASX 200, is up 9%. The NZX 50 in New Zealand's up 10%, but the real standouts globally have been some of the emerging markets. So India's up around 30% and Brazil up 27%.
Stephen, why have stock markets been so strong, do you think?
Well, in my opinion, Larry, there are three main factors supporting stock markets. Firstly, economic data in the US has been improving, and this has helped risk appetite. And the last month, we've noticed an acceleration in the US economy, especially in the manufacturing sector. So, for example, the new orders for US manufacturers reached a 10-year high in August. Secondly, we can't forget the contribution of the world's central banks in keeping interest rates at very low levels to boost growth. So policy rates remain close to zero in US, Europe, UK and Japan. And some are still easing. So, for example, the European Central Bank cut interest rates last week. And also, we've had, you know, very aggressive money printing programs by the US Federal Reserve Bank of Japan. And this has boosted liquidity for markets.
It sounds like emerging markets such as Brazil have been the place to put your money, to be invested.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the Brazilian stock performance has surprised a lot of people. And the remarkable thing about the Brazilian performance is the fact that the economy has been so weak. So the Brazilian economy slipped into recession in the second quarter of this year. And Larry, this raises a very interesting philosophical point. You know, is there any connection between the economy and the stock market? So conventional wisdom holds that if an investor can identify those countries that will grow the fastest and those that will lag, you've counted half the investment battle. So higher economic growth should mean higher corporate profits and rising share prices, so you should select the higher growth countries. However, as can be seen in Brazil, shares and economies can move in opposite directions. And another example would be Greece, that was virtually bankrupt in 2012, and the economy was close to a depression, some would say, yet the Greek stock market was the best performer in Europe, up 33% in 2012.
What about the other way around, a strong economy but a weak stock market?
Well, probably a surprise to many of your listeners, Larry, but the Chinese stock market has actually been in terrible investment over time, despite the booming economy. So, as we all know, the rate of GDP growth in China has consistently been among the strongest in the world for at least two decades, consistently growing over 10%. And the MSCI China Index, so that's the main index, was launched at the end of 1992 at the price of 100. Now, I checked at the end of August, this index was 66. So over the 21 years, the Chinese stock market has fallen 30-odd percent. So So therefore, the correlation between share market returns and economic growth has actually been negative in China. So the takeaway here for your listeners, Larry, is that the fastest growing countries, industries and companies don't always provide the best returns for investors. There are other factors that are more important.
And like what? What other factors should investors consider?
Well, it's important to understand that share markets are forward-looking. So they're discounting or taking into account how economies or companies' profits will look in 6 to 12 months. So coming back to the point, does economic growth matter for the stock market? It is the change in the economic growth rate is key. So it is growth surprises, good or bad, that influence the stock market. So going back to Greece, yes, the economy was terrible in 2012, but shares were rising as investors believe the worst was behind us and the economy had reached a turning point and would get better from here. Also, Larry, investors should pay attention to valuations. And, you know, this is a good starting point for any analysis. If valuations are high, expected returns are likely to be lower. And the final point I'd like to make, Larry, is what is absolutely critical, in my opinion, is that investors make sure their portfolio is globally diversified across the asset classes. And this is to manage against the volatility that we all know occurs in markets and also protects investors against the unknown.
Stephen, thank you for that. Appreciate it. That is Stephen Johnston, Senior Analyst at Milford Asset Management. You can go to 0800 662 345. You can call that number, of course, or milfordkiwisaver.co.nz.